Okay, well, today is the City of Ketchikan Candidates Forum. Obviously, we have a lot of folks running for elected office up here, so we're going to keep it pretty quick and hopefully not too dirty. So we're going to have each person, we'll start off doing a one-minute introduction of themselves, and then we will ask some questions, and the response time will be 30 seconds, so pretty quick. I just have a couple of questions I want to ask based on some kind of obvious things that I came up with and stuff that has been emailed to me in advance, but I really want to give all of you lots of time to ask your questions. We will start off with Chuck, and we'll alternate who goes first, so we'll just go down the line, and hopefully maybe everyone will get a chance to go first. We'll see how many questions we can cram into 45 minutes. So I'm going to be timing you up here. 1 minute. Whenever you're ready, Chuck, just let us know who you are and your background and why you're interested in running for city council.
My name's Chuck Slagle. I've been in Ketchikan since 1968. My parents, Al and Ethel Slagle, moved us to Juneau in 1957. My dad was a diesel mechanic and an airplane mechanic. Out of high school, I started flying for Weber Air, and for 30 years, I was in the seaplane business with Weber and Westflight and Seabourn. And in the year 2000, I started a business in downtown Ketchikan with sport fishing in a small restaurant. I have three children. Jack is in town. I have five grandkids. My daughter Shannon, who knows where Shannon's at, but I think she's in Nashville, last I heard. And she's moving around right now. My son Greg is in Missouri. I am 60 years old, and I think that I could contribute and help get us thinking a little further out. I'm really concerned that our grandkids a place that's as vibrant, as enjoyable to live in as we do, and if I can't accomplish that, I'm well known for stirring the pot. I'm certainly good at that. So.
All right.
Hi, my name's Ed Plute, and I'm kind of a guy that came up here in the year 2000, and I love this place, but what I see going on here with me is I get at the point where I get frustrated, and that's my nature as a person. I'm a mechanic. I've worked for the Navy for many years as an electrician. And here, now I charter out boats for different people, and that's what I'm doing here. But the main address to what I'm addressing here is our water issues. This kind of crazy stuff got to stop. The standpipe is all we need to build to get rid of this water problem. Our budgets need to be deeply addressed, and the monies that keep going over budget, why are we giving this hospital money left and right, left and right, left and right, when Peace Health last year made $1.1 billion? The city of Ketchikan spent over $1 billion. Now get this, $1 billion since the year 2000. What do we really have to show for this? Except a bunch of people leaving town that got rich from us. And this is what I'm going to try to stop and address and do my own investigation along with others. Thank you.
Time. Thank you. Julie?
My name is Julie Isom. A little bit about my background. I've been in Southeast for 27 years. I raised my two children in Thorne Bay. They're 34 and 33 years old right now. My daughter with my two grandsons lives in Oregon. My son, 34 years old, lives here in Ketchikan. His name's Jim. I have a good background for this. I worked for Southeast Island School District for 19 years, and during that time, I served 7 years on the Thorne Bay City Council and 2 terms as mayor. My real reason for running is because 2 people approached me and asked me to run. You don't sit down and decide one day, I think I'll run because I want more friends, because I realize it's not going to get me more friends. I don't have an axe to grind. I think the council in general as a whole is doing a good job, but what I can bring to it is my background and the different circles that I'm in, the opinions of the people that are in contact with me.
Time.
Thank you.
I'm Spencer Strasburg. I moved here in 97 to raise my children. When I landed here, I started driving a cab. I think I drove a cab for about 3 years and kind of learned what town was all about, and I just really fell in love with it. After 3 years, I worked with Community Connections, and I worked with at-risk teens here in town for 5 years. I worked in just about every school here, worked with an awful lot of teachers. And I was kind of given at that time because I found that this town gave me an opportunity to kind of do things that I didn't get to do outside of here, like working with people and doing things that I really care about. And so That didn't pay very much, so about 10 years ago, I was fortunate enough to make really good decisions in picking Julie as my partner, and we borrowed $600 and started Southeast Fence. It paid our family, and it took care of not only our five kids, but quite a few foster kids. We did foster
time.
Care. Wow, that was fast.
I know. I'm sorry.
See me at the store. I'll tell you more.
I know, this is probably torture for you guys. I'm really sorry.
First of all, thanks, the Chamber, for inviting us here, and welcome to all the candidates that have thrown their hat in. I think that's great. I'm Bob Sievertson. I've been on council for 6 years. Born and raised in Ketchikan, 64 years old, have two grown sons and an eighth grandchild on the way. I've enjoyed my time on the city council. There's a lot of issues before us. We're talking about budget issues. We're talking about the state budget issue, which is going to affect us greatly. And so I think there's still a lot of work to be done, and I'm willing to do the work. I research stuff. I read my packet completely. I talk to people and staff and try to get the best informed that I can before I come to the table. But thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Sam Bergeron. I came to Ketchikan October 12, 1957. Actually, I was born that day here. in the old hospital, Lisa Michalski and I were born in the same building. I've served on the city council twice. I've served on the borough assembly. I've served on the KIC tribal council as the president and as the treasurer. I've been on the planning commission two times, and you ask, why would you do all that? Well, I did that to get a perspective about what goes on in our entire community. And I think I have a unique perspective of what's going on, and I see a community that has a lot of potential, but we're not tapping that potential. I think that we have the opportunity to build on a lot of successes, like the shipyard, and we have the University of Alaska is coming in with a maritime training center. I think that's a wonderful idea. I think Doug Ward's been talking quite a bit about public-private partnerships, and I think that's the way to go. I truly want to build our hydro infrastructure. I'll get to that later. Thanks.
My name is George Leibrand. I've been up here since the mid-70s. I served on the city council for 4 years, 1999 to 2006, and I served on the borough assembly for 6 years, and I never missed a meeting, which I'm kind of proud of, and I never took a day's pay because I think it's a civic duty. And what the people used to say is you get what you pay for, and that's probably what. But I hear all this praise for the council. I see differences. I see the budget issue bothers me, and I want to see that cut 10%. And if you want to discuss government budgets with me anytime you want, I really have a pretty good knowledge of those. The city criticizes the employees a lot. I've worked with a lot of these people. Like Bob, I can remember when Bob came to work
time.
In the city. Is that time?
It's yes, time. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Janelle Minnick Gage. And I'm born and raised in Ketchikan. I can't actually say that. I left for 10 years and I moved to Kotzebue. I lived there for 5 years and I've lived in Kenai for 5 years. This is the only community that has the things we have. We have a community of people who volunteer tirelessly and work for a better community. And I think that that is an area that needs to be addressed. It also needs to be implemented into our government, and we need to all be working together as a group. The reason I'm running is I was also approached by several people over the last couple years bugging me to do it, and I hope that I can bring something to the table to help. So.
All right.
Did I get her extra time?
Sorry.
I'm Lou Williams. I was not born here. I was born in Petersburg and moved here in 66. I got involved with the council in 1987, and it's for the reason, like people have said, they love this community. When I grew up here, people donated their time and energy and made it a great place to live. And as a person interested in local government, I wanted to have that same polarity as we went forward and pushing for this community to keep growing, because if you don't grow, you start to die. And that was always my aim, is to keep making it a place where people wanted to work, do business, and just have that feeling in the community that we're going forward instead of backwards. And I think we've done that over the years since I've been there. I've been mayor for 6.5 years. I'd like to do one more term. There's a few things that I still want to work on. We have to make some decisions on. Biggie is going to be the pot issue. Infrastructure is going to be where we're going to get the money to do that. That's our goal. We got to go into infrastructure. We're not going to be able to build any more buildings and go that direction with the way the money is going in the state
time.
And the federal.
Thank you. I'll give you guys time at the end to say your final word, because I know this is kind of awful.
Had a two-hour lunch.
All right. For this next question, we'll start with Ed. We'll take turns going first, and it's in 30 seconds or less. How are we going to deal with the budget crisis facing the state of Alaska? Obviously, we're facing a multi-billion-dollar budget deficit that is inevitably going to impact our community and all of our local municipal governments. So, what is the strategy as mayor or council member that you will take and that you will provide leadership in taking?
Well, the bottom line of what this comes down to at this point in time is Carl Amelon, our city manager and bookkeeper, et cetera, the thing I don't understand is half of his projects go over by millions of dollars, and the budgets are just scaring me. This man ought to be alleviated from office. That's the start of budget on him. And the budget as far as state goes, we're going to have a great, great fall for that. And the cruise industry will not last forever, so we better understand how to get a better budget going all over the board. And as far as the water project...
Thank you.
Okay.
Sorry. And can I just remind you to please stand and
sorry.
Project? No, it's okay.
Working for Senator Stedman for 8 years, I know a lot about the budget, and a lot of those years he was co-chair of Senate Finance, so I know all about cuts and what it means to the local communities. I would work with the council is what I would do. I'm very good at working with a diverse group of people, and whatever we decide, we would decide. I haven't seen the budget enough to know where I would make cuts, where I would recommend cuts, but I would definitely be good at working with the council and a diverse group of people.
Thank you.
I don't profess to have a lot of answers, but I have a lot of questions I would ask those going forth. Quickly, with 30 seconds, I think our answers are probably out there in that tourism industry, and probably with the increased agricultural opportunities we might have coming in the future. I think the answer is really for us to take responsibility and make more money out of our own town here rather than looking at how we're going to cut money. I don't like to cut money and back off. I could put my foot on the gas and move forward. And so in business, that's where I kind of look at it, and I just
Thank
would
you.
Say let's roll forward more.
There are going to be shortfalls with the state cutting back. We're going to lose revenue sharing, which is $460,000 a year. There's no discretionary money being given to our legislators. So we're going to have to look within the city and use our own resources. We have a bunch of great people working for us, so we're going to have to work on our own infrastructure. We'll buy materials and try to plan those out, make sure that we hire good, competent people and work with our local contractors. It's going to have to come from the community. We're going to have to depend less on the state.
It's true that the state is in pretty bad condition, and what the city of Ketchikan needs to do is, first of all, look to economize its operations and to expend the money that they have now better and more efficiently. Everybody's talking about cut. When you're cutting jobs and families and school people and children, and it's disrupting lives. I think what we need to do as a group is that we need to approach the state and tell them to come up with a solution, whether it's tapping the permanent fund, whatever. If the state abruptly cuts
Thank
funding,
you.
Then we're all in big trouble. They can't do that.
I think we ought to look at the what the city council is supposed to be doing. They're supposed to give guidance to the city manager. The city council management forms are very important. And they're supposed to give guidance. They're not supposed to... So I've worked for a lot of bosses, and they'd call me in and say, I want to cut the budget 10%. And if I said, you can't do that, I'd be on the outside looking in. And I don't think it's our job to nitpick the staff And that's what's going on here consistently.
Thank you.
I'm not really familiar with the budget cuts. However, working in many programs with very little money, both in adult ed and in my program I do now, which is the Alcohol Safety Action Program, I think that, again, using our resources within our community and working together, I think we could find a solution. But I know that there are going to be some hurting programs, and there's going to be some hurting people. And that is not the solution either.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think we have to be self-sufficient as a community. We're going to have to be looking at what we want to afford to do, not look towards any outside government, state or federal. We're just going to have to decide what we want to make our top priority and go after it. We can look at budgets. We can look at new ways to bring in money, like the tobacco tax and others. But that's where we're going to have to be. It's all going to be, we need to be a community and just say what we want to do and what we are willing to pay for.
I think that that if we're going to cut costs, we should engage the community a little bit better. If you walk through KPU and ask them individually how they can be more efficient, I suspect you get a lot more than trying to figure out on top and telling them. So I think the community as a whole should be engaged, and there should be a line item approach to the budget. Nothing should be sacred, and we should cut some costs. I also think that there are a lot of economic opportunities in this town that are not being, both the borough and the city are not leading property on, that we should be looking further out and say, these are growing businesses, let's engage them.
We will start with Julie for the next question. And this question is kind of could segue from the previous question. It has to do with what you see as the future for our nonprofits in this community, and what role does the City Council and the City of Ketchikan have in that future?
I would just like to piggyback on what Jenna Lee said. Really, volunteers are the core of our community. And if you look at all the programs we offer here in Ketchikan, it's huge. And you look at who runs them and how they keep going, and it is our volunteers. So I would say more appreciation to the volunteers, possibly somehow to continue that, because our greatest resource is our people. That's what makes Ketchikan so awesome. So to just encourage those volunteers.
Thank you.
It seems like it's a delicate balancing act between the city's responsibility to take care of nonprofit organizations and the nonprofit's organization to kind of take care of themselves. It's a really important thing. That's what makes our town the great place that it is. Places like Community Connections, Ketchikan Wellness Coalition, places like that. That's what makes this a really cool place, and that's what makes us all want to stay here when it's raining and pouring and we don't have the best weather. We all stay here because we like being here. We like the people that we're here with. We like this service that we do. I personally just like being here.
Well, our nonprofits do a lot of great work in the community, and they do it at a reasonable cost. The unfortunate thing is, such as the borough, they're losing revenues out of their economic development fund. They won't be able to continue to fund it. So we're going to have to define those revenue sources and decide to what level we can fund them and continue to support them as we move forward.
My history on the council as far as nonprofits has been is I've been a very strong supporter of the nonprofits. I think that they deliver services that to the people of Ketchikan for far less than any government agency could ever do it. They don't have guaranteed pay raises. They don't have yearly pay increases. They add things to the Ketchikan which I can't define in 30 seconds, but they are worth funding. It's worth finding the money to keep those things going. Thank you.
Well, we're a city government, not the United Fund. And what I just get involved in different schemes. First question I ask if somebody comes to me and wants me to put something into it, what are you putting into it? And that's always an interesting thing. I've said before, for 10 years on the borough and the city, if somebody wants a funds from the city, I want to see some hard cash from them at a small amount.
I sit on several of the different nonprofit organizations and work with them on a regular basis to bring a lot of the programs and assist in a lot of the programs. And again, I'll say I've lived in communities where there are no programs, and I felt like all I did was exist. These programs are vital, and they're important, and they are what makes us thrive, not what makes us just exist. And existing is nothing. I believe that we need to implement.
Time.
Well, the council isn't required to do the agency funding that has they have selected to do it, and it seems to be very popular. The only thing I have on the nonprofits is I always insist that we fund the senior programs first. We'll see how the money is from there and go from there, but senior are definitely always first in my book. I enjoy funding them because we love the programs, and we just see how the budget falls out, where we can get the money from, and we go from there.
If you don't want the council to spend money on the nonprofits, then you probably shouldn't vote for me, because I believe that it's a cornerstone of our community. I don't think all the nonprofits are the same. I don't think you should throw money at them. I think you should, as an intelligent group, decide who really contributes to this town. Take a look at what that investment is going to get back. Some of these folks have $400,000 or $500,000 budgets with a small amount be put in the city. So I support the nonprofits on a selective basis, and I think there's enough money to keep these passionate people going.
Well, here's a rarity for me. I'm usually barking about the budget and things, but I do believe in giving money to nonprofits because they do help a great deal of people. And that's about all I got to say about that. Thank you.
All right. I think I'm going to turn it over now to the audience. I'm curious what you folks are interested in. So
I'm just curious, Mr. Flute, why you've chosen to run for mayor and not start on the council to learn how the process works.
Okay, I'll put it very simply. The way I look at it, if we can get rid of Carl Amelon, that's a start. Then we can get executive order back to the mayor and the city council so they can make true decisions. Once they make true decisions, right now the council puts all the responsibility on Carl Amelon, which I don't think is fair. The council makes the decision, I understand that. But the thing about this is if we can get back executive authority in the decision, then we have a right to stop these bids and these crazy ideas and all this water project stuff. We've got to start tightening our purse strings, because we're around the corner of an economic collapse here.
Thank you, Ed.
Okay.
Trevor.
Just kind of if I could get everybody's general opinion on the tobacco tax, and if you think it should be enacted, and if it should be enacted, should it go before the voters first?
Spencer, you'll start.
How do I know I get this one? I don't know how much time I have for this answer, and there's probably no way I'm even going to tap the beginning of it. No, I don't oppose. I don't support this tax the way it's structured now, the way we're giving the money away, and we're not really accountable for that kind of stuff. I could go on and on and on for days and years. It's very selective. We're not even talking about the 950,000 people that are coming in here smoking. We're only talking about the 2,000 or 3,000 that are smoking in here that we want to get that 1.2 million from. I'll talk more about it at tomorrow's city council meeting.
Bob?
Well, you know, I think the users support the potential of stopping youth from smoking. The statistics say that for every dollar you drop 7% of youth smoking, and that's where I'm coming from. It now, we can dedicate that money in any manner that we want, whatever percentage we want, but I think it's important that we protect our youth as we go forward. Smoking is declining. I understand that e-cigarettes are increasing, but we have a responsibility, and I think a lot of that falls back on the users. Thank you.
I'm in support of a tobacco tax. I think that tobacco tax increases save lives. When the state of Alaska increased their tobacco tax by $1, I quit. I think that it's not a decision that should be made at the table. I think it's a decision that is a big decision and should go out to the public on the ballot. I think all of you should weigh in whether we should be taxed more on our cigarettes or not. But I will say this, that during times of economic crisis, sin taxes are typically the first thing that local governments go to. Taxes on tobacco, taxes on alcohol, and marijuana.
I have if you raise the tax, it opened up a new business of bootlegging supplies in, and that would employ the people that could put out of work because of the legalizing marijuana. But the if you've been in states that boot the alcohol and tobacco tax to any extreme, the rate of bootlegging stuff in the state comes up tremendously. Thank you.
We are one of the last communities in Alaska to even implement or has not implemented the tobacco tax. I actually am for it, and it has been proven across the state that it has lowered usage. I do also believe that I think it should be up to the people, and I think it should be on the ballot for everybody to decide.
I support the tobacco tax, $1, $2, $3,
whatever they want to come up with. One thing we have to do is be creative and look in the ways, I just don't want to raise the budget with mill rate increases, sales tax increases. We have to look at all kinds of different areas of where we can get money. Plus, everybody talks about cut. Well, we're going to have to look at that. As Bob said, we're going to lose $450,000 right away from the state. So it's an interesting balance, and this is one of the cogs in it. So
I support the tobacco tax. I think times are tough. We're going to have to get creative where we come up with revenue, and this has a huge benefit of getting less kids smoking, so I support it.
Any taxes whatsoever should be brought to the people, not to the decision of council or anybody else. Any monies, any taxes. That's it. Thank you.
I would support looking at a tax. When I first saw it come out and it was $3 a pack and you're taxing one group of people, it left a sick feeling in my mouth, and I didn't see it as a good thing. When you're taxing one group of people, $3 a pack, I don't even know how much a pack of cigarettes are, but $3 seemed like an excessive tax. But I would consider looking at the bill redone. In fact, I think the council's bringing it back up, aren't you guys? I thought you were bringing it back. I don't know. But I agree, there should be less kids smoking. Thank you.
So I have a question about composting. And so I would started the farmers market under the Ketchikan Wellness Coalition with a group of other people. And one of the things that we've come up with is that if we want to grow our own food in Ketchikan, we need a supply of soil. So the city owns the dump or the garbage. Landfill. And I was just wondering if there's any thought to community-wide composting.
Yeah, the city of Ketchikan has a solid waste facility up there, and we have resources where we can do composting. We do composting right now, but it's not a Class A that you can use in food products. If they did a chlorine injection into the soil, then maybe you get there. But we do have, I think, access to soils being brought in from the lower 48. We send 40-foot containers out of here every day full of garbage. There's no reason why they may not come back with some soils in it if we could figure that out with the suppliers that we work with down there. But I think that there is availability. There's the raw wood products. There's all kinds of green waste that we can do. There's the vegetable waste from the grocery stores and stuff. So I think there is time.
Well, I think it's a good opportunity for the city of Ketchikan to work with private enterprise to bring enterprise and the economy in Ketchikan forward, and we're always looking to do things like that. We would be falling all over ourselves to accommodate you and to see, like Ed Bob suggested, backhauling empty containers that we have up. We would be looking for ways to grow the economy, and we would certainly listen to you for more and better ideas. Thank you.
Anything that would produce money, but we get involved in so many big money schemes that are going to help us, and I can name them off, but it doesn't make sense. I mean, if you've got a venture and it's really viable and it's supportable and it's real, then I say take it.
I haven't really considered it, but now that you mention it, it sounds like a really great idea as far as all the agricultural stuff we're going to be moving into. I think any of these kind of things are the kind of new age kind of things we need to be thinking about. We haven't been thinking about composting here for a long time, and it seems to make a whole lot of sense. So I would support that.
You know, actually, when you bring it up, that just looking at POW's food program that they have at the schools, I think that's a great place to start and then build up to doing something that brings our food costs down for our school kids and our community. But because, fresh food is always better than brought in food.
I don't know much about composting, but I did get a bag of dirt from Madison and planted a pumpkin this year, and I grew my first ever pumpkin. And a tragic story yesterday. I went out back, and there was a big bite mark out of it, and so I had to pick it up. But I got tons of pictures. If anybody would say, I'm so proud of my pumpkin. So I believe in growing.
Chuck, do you have anything to add on composting?
I don't. You can't follow Lou.
Ed?
I just think it's a great idea if somebody could get it done at a reasonable price.
And Julie?
I think it's a good idea, too, but I'm with Lou. I don't know that much about it, but I would look at a business plan or some sort of laid-out plan that anyone would approach the council with.
Thank you. Yes, Terry.
I would just like to hear, I know it's been voted on probably about four or five times, about saving money. This community has voted on it several times, but consolidation, unification of the borough and the city. I would like to hear your ideas.
Great question. We'll start with Sam.
I support consolidation. I think that a town of our size doesn't need three or four, and now they want to do another one in Ward Cove. No. I think consolidation makes sense. I know that there are short-term obstacles to that and additional costs that we would be incurring. But I think that we don't need two governments or three or four. We just need one. We're a small place, and we can definitely handle it. I support it. Thank you.
George, do you have anything to add about consolidation?
Yeah, I supported consolidation, and it doesn't make sense. I mean, when you can compare cities that are one government compared to what their costs for the same services are, it's unbelievably different. And I could give you statistics, but we haven't got the time.
I think it's a good idea. I think it's time that we stop being adversarial and be a community that's together and actually works together and not, oh, that's borough, that's city. I think it's time we all come together, and I think that is the one thing that would probably help with some of our costs.
I was a big supporter of unification, consolidation, whichever you wanted to do. The last one we put together was an excellent, excellent program. I think the Boundary Review Board uses it as an example for anybody who wants to try it. I don't see me leading the charge. Somebody else is going to have to come through. I'm pretty sure it won't happen in my lifetime.
I think it's an issue of trust. If you wander down the street and ask people of Ketchikan what their vision, the town, the council's vision is for KPU, our water, our promenade, our industry in the future, nobody's going to know. Somehow we have to get the trust fixed in the city so that the borough doesn't vote it out next time we bring it up. And we need to engage the community to do that, and they need to understand what we look like in 10 years so that somebody wants to join us instead of just jump into the fray.
I agree to be consolidated without question. I think that we could also save millions of dollars by doing such, and at the same time, it should come to a vote once again, but both the city and the borough should have a vote on it at the same exact time, and that would solve the issues and the answers, but it will save millions of dollars, and that's millions of dollars we could use. Thank you.
I'm definitely for consolidation, working for Southeast Island School District on Prince of Wales Island for 19 years, and many of those years having to work with the other school districts on the island. I don't know how many of you know, there's four school districts on Prince of Wales Island right now. Two of them have actually consolidated, Southeast Island and Heidelberg, which is working well for them. But I know the benefits to consolidating, so I would be for it.
That was the question I was waiting for. I didn't really have a strong opinion either way. I see both sides of it. I see strong needs for consolidation and cutting some of those costs. I also think that maybe with two governments, it makes differences when one person lives in a city and one person lives outside of the city. I think there's differences that we have with our water and some of our services here that maybe the people that are outside of the area don't have the same impact and the same concerns with. And so I'd have to really consider this a whole lot more. I'd ask about a billion more questions before I weighed in.
Yeah, I believe that we should consolidate. I think there would be savings in that. When we talk about, like, fire departments, we got, what, four or five of them on the island now. They're all doing their own type of training things. They all have to have their own fire trucks, their own ambulances. I think by consolidation, bring them under one rule, that we would get efficiencies out of that in all forms of government. So I support it.
No one's going to ask anything about marijuana? Well, I guess we'll start with George. Marijuana, where do you stand on it? How do you feel? How should we deal with it as a community? Obviously, there's questions that need to be answered by the state first and completely before we can really make any determination here on a local level, but what are your kind of initial thoughts?
I think my opinion on any form of drug, alcohol, or tobacco is the same. I think you'd be a hell of a lot better off not doing it. But if you if it's legal and that's the law, then that's what you got to live with. But you put a lot of people out of work. And when you do that, a lot of people made a substantial living off marijuana. And now they'll have to go to some other form of endeavorment. But if the government passes the law, then you got to live with it, whether you like it or not.
Thank you.
I'm against the use of marijuana. However, I do understand that it is the law. I do have to admit, after reading the state's thing on the marijuana, that before we start opening shops, actually, the working with the code on the grow centers first is probably, I like how they're looking at it with the state. I think it's a good idea to go slowly, tread lightly, and wait to see what the state says
and gives us.
We first have to decide if we want to, I mean, the first big question, do we go retail? You know, the past that it's the law. The problem I have is edibles. Totally against it. I think it directs it right towards children. And then you have to decide if you go with the shops, I mean, are we going to put in lounges too so people can smoke it there if you want a revenue off of cruise ships? I think Juno's dealing with that decision right now too. A lot of questions. But the first thing the community has to do, both borough and city, is decide if we're going to open up a shop or not. And right now, if there's edibles, I don't tend to support that.
I don't think anything good comes from marijuana. It's the law, so it's something we have to live with. But I certainly don't think cruise ships are going to come here because there's a line of shops downtown. We've become something other than we are right now. So I think, and the bigger problem, I think, is the blasted distraction. How much time we can spend talking about marijuana and we're not drinking our water, or we don't know what the economy is going to be. We should really deal with it, put it off to the side, and move on to things that are more important.
Thank you, Chuck.
As far as marijuana goes, I don't smoke it personally. I know a lot of people that do. I don't see them getting violent like on alcohol. I mean, alcohol, I see people drink all the time, get drunk or whatever, get in fights. People drink, smoke a little bit of pot. The worst they're going to do is a refrigerator drive-by theft. I mean, that's about it. That's how I feel about it.
I'm kind of with Chuck. Deal with the law and move on. I don't smoke it. I just recently learned that you can eat it. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. But when I worked for Senator Stedman, we received both sides of the story, and really just as many for as against. But the one thing I don't like the idea of is putting so much law enforcement time into it.
I have a 30-year history with marijuana, and I think there's a delicate balancing act between the people who want or need it and the people who don't want to have anything to do with it. And I think that's what we need to work on here. It's the law. We've already voted it in as a majority, and we need to figure out how to make that balance. But I think since we are going through with it and it has become a law, we need to own it. And I think there's also efficiencies and things that we could do within this system so that we tap that tourism market and those other things, and we own it.
Yeah, I think as a community right now, we're waiting for the state to come out with the regulations that we're going to be dealing with. There's going to be some local regulations as far as zoning and permits that we will probably work through. The first thing, of course, they're going to have to do is come in with a testing facility before you do anything, because you can't sell it or process it or do anything with it until it's tested. I think it's going to be a problem. I think that we're going to have law enforcement issues with that and far how you handle it, not necessarily just from the smoking. So it is the law, and the state's moving forward, so I think we just have to get aboard with it. So.
Okay, like I mentioned earlier, in times of economic troubles, municipalities, states have gone to sin taxes for forms of revenue. I think since marijuana is legal, that we would be crazy not to tax it and not to regulate it. And I think no matter how much time we need to do to address it to where it meets the best interest of the community with zoning, who uses it, accessibility, storefronts, and those kinds of things. I think if it's legal, then we need to deal with that, and we also need to address the best interest of the community now that it is legal.
All right, thank you. We are almost out of time. I do want to give everybody another minute to say whatever they need to get off their chest, whatever else they think we haven't touched upon today. So we'll start with Janalee.
We have a lot of issues. There's a lot of things that we need to talk about, and marijuana is one of them. And then there's a lot of great things that are going on in our communities. And some of the things that are, some of the things that do bring in the revenue that are positive are our artists. And I actually pulled this out the other day because I'd read it, and it's from 2013. But local artists raise, non-art employment included, $57 million in Southeast Alaska. So our nonprofit, we have a ton of nonprofits. We have some amazing artists in our community. And we need to tap into those things. The marijuana is like here. I am not big on edibles. I'm not big on making it a big thing. And at the same time, I like to say that we really need to also glorify the things we are doing, the positive stuff.
I'll let everyone finish their
sentence. Well, I want to thank you all for coming and listening to us. I thank everybody for running. I mean, being involved in the community is something I was always raised on. My grandfather was a six-term mayor of Wrangell. Could be worse. My father, was involved with the newspaper industry, too. He was a school board member in Petersburg, a mayor of Petersburg. And it all came to me, be involved with your community. And I was really thrilled when I was growing up here. Guys like Tom Friesen and others were involved with all the activities, and I had a lot of fun. And so I wanted to give back. I've been involved with all my children's activities, from coaching 6 to 8 years of girls' softball to soccer, which I have no idea what it does. I just only run up and back and forth. But we had great leagues and great friends, and I do that to my – I mean, I've encouraged that my children. One of my daughters is a volunteer. She coaches Schoenbar girls' basketball. My other does the K-High – I think they call it dance team.
Dance
now,
team
so I've got to get it right. and even some of them have interest in politics, so eventually, hopefully, they'll do that, because what you put into the community is what you get out. Thank you.
Well, I think we have an extraordinary community. I'm honored to live here. There's opportunities I got that I probably wouldn't have got anywhere else. I think a lot of it's also by accident. I think we're extraordinary sometimes in spite of ourselves. And I think there should be a much stronger discussion about what it looks like 5, 10, and 15 years from now. If you take a look at the cost of health care, the economy as a whole, the overall cost of our government, there's a lot of things that we can't deal with them on a six-month cycle or a one-year cycle. It'd be nice to at least agree somehow what it looks like 10 or 15 years from now so we can make our decisions filtered on where we think we're going. And I just don't hear that. I hear a lot of heated discussion and a lot of good decisions being made, but they're not within the context of what we want to be 20 years from now. And I'm concerned that my grandkids won't be able to afford health care or won't have a job to go to, or that we're going to look much more like Skagway than we do with Ketchikan if we're not careful. So that's one of my concerns.
This is about a community by itself. I mean, I'm not running for myself. I'm running for the community. And that's what it's truly about in this town. I mean, I love this town very deeply. And it just seems to be that the city leaders are not listening to us whatsoever. And that's what really frustrates me, because I talk to a lot of people and all they say is, what are you going to do about it, Ed? What are you going to do about it? I said, same thing they're always doing. So the borough gets with the city gets a borough, and it's still a mess, and it's always been a mess. It's got to get straightened up. Let's fight it. Thank you.
We all need to do something in this community. And the reason why I joined Rotary or Big Brothers Big Sisters or Help Out with the Arts Council or First City Council on Cancer or any of the other number of nonprofits in this community is because I know I need to volunteer. You may be independently wealthy, and the way you volunteer is to hand out a check, because I know many of you do. But I figured to take it to the next level, I would volunteer on the council. We were just talking before anybody else showed up. We were saying, well, one of the reasons is not because you need more friends. One of the reasons I joined Rotary, I wanted more friends. I wanted to be in different groups of people. I just recently, well, a couple of years ago, joined Toastmasters because I wanted to be in a different group of people. But that isn't why you do this, because I know I'm not going to make more friends. I'll probably make a few enemies. But I have the background and I have the time to put into looking into the issues.
I've got lost for words at this moment right now. I've thought about a million things. I just really, I'm just kind of excited for the opportunity to maybe get in there and help out. I think I have some pretty good ideas, and I've had a lot of people since I've been in my store downtown say, man, you got a lot of good ideas. How come you're not running for city council? I never really thought me, you know, I thought, I don't know, and then I started talking, and now it's starting to seem like it makes a whole lot more sense. I'm not really Donald Trump or anything, but I started Southeast Fence with a borrowed $600. You know, they're not big corporations or anything, but it came from making good decisions. And I started the Foxhole downtown here with a budget of $2,000. Judy can attest that we started with $2,000 and only had a little paint on the walls and a few items, and that's where the Foxhole started from. I'd like to be able to get in there and see if I can't use some of my ideas and some efficiencies and stuff to see if we can't project the town into better fiscal responsibility and maybe making some of our own money and not being so dependent on the handout portion. There's a lot of economic opportunity here. We need to get in there and take advantage of it.
Thank you. I'd like to remind everybody that, you know, the city process is a public process. We do it in the open. Our budgets are discussed in the open. You have every opportunity to come to a council chamber and talk to any of those subjects. As far as some of our projects, the hospital at this time is on budget and ahead of schedule. There's a number of projects that you do may go over into contingency. Some of those have rebates coming back from them through legal actions or other things. But I think the city is a public process, and it just needs more people to get involved in it if you want to change things. Not any one councilman is going to make that decision. It takes at least four to make a vote go forward, and so it is through consensus. And I think that's one of the things that I'm work real hard at is building consensus with my colleagues. Thank you.
Well, thanks everybody for participating in today's forum. City government, what government does in general is what the individual can't. And I think city government in particular is their job to make sure that we have a place that's worth living in and that we have all of the tools that we need to grow industry, plenty of hydropower, good streets, the good police protection, great schools, a great arts community. My goal to be on the council is to build a community and a future that my kids are going to want to come back to. Right now, that's not happening. I have a real burning desire to take all the experience that I've had to date and to apply it back on the council and to talk about how we can develop our hydro resources, how we can develop our inner tie with Metlakatla, have them develop their Lower Triangle Lake project, build the Mahoney Lake project. If you take a look at what happened to Las Vegas after some hydro came into their region, they came from a little tiny place to a great big place. That's what I want to do, is make sure we have all the tools that we need to make it happen. Thanks.
I guess one of the things the people in this town need is an educational program. We're facing money shortages. I think you ought to know that the city council in Ketchikan and the city manager are the highest paid in Alaska. And somebody told me some of the communities are a lot bigger than ours, and their compensation rates are way lower. I think that we should put out a good... you're talking about construction overruns. This is I've been in public works all my life, and this is the first community that gives an engineer a design, and he puts it out, and the worse the plans are, the more change orders are, and they pay the engineer to correct them. I never seen that before in my life. So there is some little cleanup that could be done with public education. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you all for being here. I know it was a little bit rough with the short time limits, but I really appreciate it. I think we should all give them a big round of applause.